the two. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It is Monday. We're starting the week off with a fantastic show. During the first hour, we're going to be talking to Dr. Amadeen Sheikhs to talk about another case against the midnight snack. Lots of people out there think a calorie is a calorie. No matter when you eat it, it affects the body the same. From an evolutionary perspective, this does not make sense, so we're going to talk about that. Then we're going to be joined by, Dr. Amir Zarinpar to talk about, in a healthy gut, microbes wax and wane throughout the day. A lot of people think that the microbiome is a static mass of microbes, and that is not true. We're going to talk more about that and the implications of that research. But first, let's get started. Dr. Sheikhs, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. So this is really an interesting discussion because there's a large consensus out there within the orthodoxy, especially dietitians and so on, who believe that a calorie is a calorie and meal timing does not play any role in how the body takes the nutrition and partitions it. What made your group look at this particular research, first of all?
So there was some previous literature showing that, when you give a high-fat diet to a mouse, it is called diet-induced obesity. They become really obese and diabetic, and this has been used for more than 50 years as a model in research to try to understand the causes of obesity and the pathology of diabetes. And 10 years ago, some group could observe that when you give this high-fat diet to the mice, not only do they become obese, but they also change the feeding pattern.
Uh-huh.
So a normal mice, if you fed the mice with the regular chow, they eat 80% of the diet during their nighttime, which is their active phase, and
right,
only 20% during the day. But if you give them the high-fat diet, then it really changed, and they start eating throughout the day. So it led to the hypothesis that maybe it's not only what, but also when you eat that was responsible for the obesity that we could observe in the animals.
So in order to elucidate this, how was your particular study designed?
So it was very simple. We decided to only give them access of the high-fat diet during the dark phase. Once again, the dark for the animal is the active phase, right?
Right,
it would be the equivalent of all day.
Right, because they're not nocturnal, so they're up at night when we're sleeping. Right, exactly.
Yes. So we decided just to have the food during that active phase, the dark phase. So we'll literally put the food in the morning and then take take the food out at night and see what happened. And we were very surprised to see that within a week, they actually learned very nicely that the food is going to get out after a certain number of hours, and they actually consume the exact same amount of calorie within that time-restricted feeding period compared to when you give them ad libitum, meaning 24 hours
availability to the food. Right, access, right. Wow.
The other end, the mice were lean, so.
They were still lean, however, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and the reason that this discussion is really important is because as a society, thanks to the introduction of electric light, television, and now fast forward to computers and tablets and everything, people are staying up later and later into the evening. And they're actually effectively disrupting circadian rhythm because the production of artificial blue light late at night tells the body's clock that it's still daytime. So this becomes an important discussion when we look at the obesogenic model today, right?
Yes. Yes, it does. I mean, for sure, in modern society, people stay awake well into the night, and so not only does this decrease the sleep, but it also extends the eating period.
Okay. Now, what happens when you flip this on the little rodents, when you flip the time on the rodents?
What do you mean?
So you said that they stayed lean anyway, even though they had access to the food just during what was considered their daytime period, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when they started to eat in their nighttime, the time that they're supposed to sleep? What happens to their bodies?
So that experiment has been, so it's not, we didn't do that exact experiment, but it's been done, I think it was 5 years ago already. And this experiment showed that the mice, this was very, very bad for them to eat during the daytime, and especially for their glucose regulation.
Uh-huh.
So as far as diabetes is concerned, it looks very bad. And there's also other mice model, again, in other published study, showing like some of the models are trying to mimic shift work. So having the mice, you know, work during their daytime and maybe come back to a regular diet during the weekend, and that as well was very detrimental.
So really, when you take other researchers' work in this area, which when we look at people who are eating or rodents who are eating in times that they should not be eating, and then you combine that with your research, which takes just the high-fat diet, which has been considered the reason for the obesogenic nature of that diet, and you exclude the timing portion of it, where they couldn't eat this high-fat food during their sleep time, but restricted it just to their awake period, for instance, they did not get fat as would be expected, correct?
Yeah, correct.
What happens when you take obese mice and you correct their access to food? Do you see them get leaner?
So that's the very experiment that we did in that new publication, because that was obviously one of the question people wondered, is that because we previously shown that time-restricted feeding could be a preventive intervention, but now we wonder whether it could be used as a therapeutic intervention,
uh-huh,
right, in light of number of the population being already diagnosed as obese or pre-diabetic. So we took some obese mice and put them on this time-restricted feeding paradigm. And so efficiently, within 2 weeks, they lose 5% of their body weight.
Huh.
And then they stabilize the body weight that they reach, this new set value. They stabilize it very efficiently. And a number of metabolic parameters were way better than what it was before. And for instance, we were able to control glucose homeostasis as well as cholesterol levels, blood cholesterol level, which drops.
Wow, that's amazing. Here's what I want to do. I want to take a quick commercial break, and then I've got some other questions I want to propose to see if we can get some deeper knowledge.
Wait.
I want to talk about the time frames, 9, 10, 12, and 15 hours of feeding, and how they individually affected this scenario. We're talking with Dr. Amadeen Sheks. We're talking about why it's probably not a good idea to be eating late in the evening and into the nighttime, which most people do, and most of those people fight with obesity all the time. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N Labs.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. The high-fat diet is vilified all the time for causing obesity. Back in the 70s, we became afraid of fat, and we embraced glucose, foods that drive glucose through the roof, and really it's the reason for obesity today. And Dr. Sheck's group is really giving is casting some light on the possible mechanisms where the high-fat diet may cause some issues, and it may not be strictly because of the caloric density of fat, but instead the shift in timing that people tend to eat. You know, Dr. Sheck, I look at everything through from an evolutionary perspective. And I have to think that whatever the species of animal is, if it's eating at an abnormal time, an animal should be eating during their quote-unquote waking period or their locomotive period. Not during their resting period. And when an animal is eating during the period that it's supposed to be resting, I think the message it sends to the body is that the environment is hostile. We can't go and do the things we want to do when we want to. We have to do it now because there's some hostility in the environment. So the body prepares for this stress by creating more fat so that it can weather the storm in the event of some possible famine event. And so it makes perfect sense what you've discovered. I have to say it really does. Talk about the time frames. So the rodents were allowed to eat for 9 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, or 15 hours. They were given access to food. How did these different time frames affect the partitioning of body fat?
So we initially we did the study with 8 hours, and 8 hours was, we thought it was kind of a short time. You know, in a perspective that you want to maybe translate this to human one day, 8 was short. I mean, like if you think about your work days, that would be difficult to implement.
Right.
So we tried other schedules. So we tried 9, 10, 12, and 15. And really what we found first was that the beneficial effects were proportional to the fasting duration. So the longer you fast, the better. But within this observation, we could really see that there was a difference between everything up to 12 hours and then more than 12 hours. So it's, and if you stay within this 12-hour window, you have a lot more beneficial effect than if you eat for longer than this.
Now, see, this is an interesting discussion, and I'll tell you what this also plays into. There's a movement afoot, and I'm a fan of intermittent fasting, but I like to call it an ancestral eating frequency pattern. But there's a big movement, and there's even people who are capitalizing on this movement by writing books. The guy who is the editor-in-chief for Men's Health magazine, David Zizinko, wrote a book using intermittent fasting as a model for weight loss. And I think... And there has not been a lot of positive reviews on this process. And I think the mistake that's being made within that community that's embracing intermittent fasting is that the individuals are told that if they fast all day long, they can eat anything they want at night, as much as they want at night. And I think that they are taking this message and they're going, okay, so I'm gonna have one meal at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock at night, and I'm going to make this. This is gonna be maybe 1,000, 1,500, even 2,000 calories. They're gonna eat that over the course of an hour or two. So they're eating right into 10 o'clock. Then they're going to bed, and then they're waking up in the morning. They're fasting all day. So what they're really doing, because we know that the circadian rhythm is affected by other things besides daylight. It's also affected by activity, and it's also affected by feeding. The body knows that it's daytime and it's active time by the light that presents itself to the retina, but also by the activity levels and the feeding. And so when these people go long periods of time and literally fast or almost starve themselves, then they eat this huge meal late in the evening when they shouldn't be eating any longer. The approach backfires. They don't lose body fat. Would you like to speak to that by any chance?
I mean, I know intermittent fasting from the research side of it, and I've been talking a lot with Dr. Mattson at NIA, who works on this for more than 20 years, I think.
Okay.
And yes, we are very, I think it's a very good question to look at intermittent fasting from the perspective of, it is also somehow an intermittent fasting in relation not only to the feeding and fasting pattern, but also to the clock. So
yes,
we are really interested to know how do you have to be in sync with your clock in order to get the most out of the intermittent fasting, or is it something that you can apply any time of the day? I think that's an excellent question.
And I think we had a doctor from the UCLA that worked in conjunction with the Buck Institute, mm-hmm. and they did a very small trial recently where they actually reversed the memory deficit effects of Alzheimer's disease in 10 participants in this small study. And one of the things that they had these individuals doing was they would cut off their meal. But they said you have to fast a minimum of 12 hours before your first meal in the morning, and you have to have stopped eating. You have to have your last hour at least 3 hours before going to bed. So that takes intermittent fasting and puts it into a realm of fitting it into the day-night clock of a human being, as opposed to just saying, well, as long as you fast for 16 or 18 hours, you can do whatever you want on the other time that you're not fasting. So that speaks to this.
Yeah, I don't know about that study, but it's definitely, I think it's definitely something to pursue and look in the future, this relationship with the fasting and the body response.
Right.
According to the time of the day, would be even better.
Right, right. Now, when the rodents were allowed to eat for 15 hours or beyond, that's when you didn't see any benefits. They did not lose body fat, correct?
No, yeah, correct.
So what other findings did you see in this study that surprised you?
Well, we also, part of the, comes back to the same question, same thing that I mentioned initially was 8 hours, the magic number. In the prospect of translating this to human one day, we really wanted to test time-restricted feeding with different types of diet,
uh-huh,
and also with a more flexible feeding schedule. So first, as far as diet is concerned, there's a controversy whether the consumption of high fructose corn syrup or any additional sweeteners in the food will be somehow involved in the obesity pandemic.
Right.
So that's why in this study we also tried a different diet that contained a lot of fructose, but also high fat and high sucrose diet, which would be really more mimicking the Western diet nowadays.
Right. What did you find in that group?
We found that it was exactly the same for the time-restricted feeding. They were completely protected from obesity and metabolic disease. So pretty much no matter the diet.
This is amazing. This is amazing. I mean, it really is. I mean, it puts an end to nighttime TV. I'll tell you that. Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, if people started to pay attention to this and they went, wow, as long as I stop eating by 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, I'm going to lose weight without changing my diet. I don't have to try any new diets. I can just keep doing what I'm doing. That alone would change everything. But the problem is getting people not to eat when they're sitting there watching television with commercial after commercial about this food and that food and that food. And it's really amazing. Another thing that I found interesting from the study was that you allowed the rodents to kind of break with the timed eating pattern for 2 days. So to kind of create the weekend, the human weekend. We like to, Monday through Friday we do this, but on the weekend we do whatever we want. And that had a very little effect on obesity. I mean, they didn't gain weight as a result of that, right?
Yeah. We really wanted to try whether you can have a social life in the weekend.
Right.
If you're a mice, right? But yes, indeed, it was the mice that have access ad libitum to the food during the weekend. They were very similar to the one that were maintained on the time-restricted feeding for 7 days. So that 5-day time-restricted 2-day ad libitum works very well. And actually, when we compared these mice, they were very similar, and actually they were indistinguishable. Like the time-restricted feeding during 5 days was powerful enough to imprint sometimes of signature to the mice that they looked the time restricted. They looked like the time restricted fed one, and there was no difference really.
That's very promising for people who want to be able to be social, as you say, go out on the weekends, enjoy themselves, eat a little bit more maybe, or eat a little bit later into the evening, and not derail their progress. That's very, very promising. What I want to do is I want to take a commercial break, and when we come back, I want to talk about some more information about the feeding pattern of these rodents and how this translates into humans. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935. Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it. Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dyes. Increasing blood flow to height anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin. Human by Rev Genetics today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Amadeen Sheks. We're talking about the importance of curtailing your eating late in the evening if your goal is to lose body fat. It could be that simple. Dr. Sheks, you looked at some of the metabolic pathways that become deranged when the little rodents were eating during times that they shouldn't have. Can you talk about that a little bit?
So, we did the metabolic pathway, you asked, right?
Yeah, metabolic pathways. Yeah, like the I'm sure you looked at insulin and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, what we found was about insulin and the regulation of glucose was It wasn't surprising, in fact, because we were comparing mice that were obese and mice that were lean, because the mice on time-restricted feeding did not really gain weight. So it wasn't a big surprise that actually the regulation of glucose and insulin was much more efficient in the lean mice than in the fat mice. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like looking at other metabolic pathway that we found more profound differences that we were not maybe not anticipating that much.
Like which ones?
Like so when we did the we did like a broad scale analysis of what was happening in these mice looking at their serum, we could find some parameters that relate to inflammation,
for instance.
Or protection against reactive oxygen species. That were completely reverted by time-restricted feeding. Inflammation was reverted, and on the other hand, protection against reactive oxygen species was much more enhanced in the mice on time-restricted feeding, suggesting that, both protective pathways are enhanced in the time-restricted fed mice when the bad pathway, like inflammatory responses, are turned down. So it's a global, we could observe like a global response that all fed to feed into, the healthy state of this mice.
Interesting. So really the takeaway from this research is that the timing of your meals and the duration of your eating period plays a major role in whether you are going to become obese or remain lean.
Yeah, that's what we believe.
So where do you go now? What's the next type of research that you look at since you've gotten to this point?
We still are trying to figure out exactly what are the metabolic pathway involved behind this.
Right.
Since the beginning, that's why we started this research as well. We work on the circadian clock. We want to really decipher what's happening, in terms of global, pathway during the dark versus during the light phase when these mice have access to the food, or not. So we really want to try to go deeper into this, temporal discrepancy between the pathway.
What, do mice produce melatonin?
Yes. Well,
yes. I know, right? We produce melatonin in response to the sun going down. Do they produce melatonin in response to the sun coming up?
No. They do. I think it works the same. It works the same in mice as in human. Although I'm not the specialist, some people in my lab could tell this better. But I think it's not reversed. I think it's the same.
I was just curious. Because we're talking about ROS, and we're talking about obviously antioxidant pathways when you talk about that, and I know melatonin is a very powerful antioxidant. And then I thought, gee, I wonder if, since they're up at night when the sun is down, if they even produce melatonin, because melatonin has both a hypnotic effect but also a push-pull on circadian timing. And it was just an odd question. I wonder if little mice produce melatonin. What would you hope that clinicians and lay people take away from your research before we let you go?
As far, this is obviously a study that was done in mice. And we're really hoping that funding permitted, we'll be able to move on to study this in humans. We have hope, but until this is really done, mice and humans are very different. So, yes, there's hope, but we still need to confirm that this is actually working in humans.
I didn't want to say that at the front of the interview because we just did a show a few weeks ago where we talked about the fact that, research done in animals in general do not necessarily confer to the human condition, and especially when we're looking at pharmaceutical drugs and stuff like that. So all of this has to be taken with some what's the word I'm looking for? I think it allows us to see some information, but it does not necessarily mean that that is how it's going to happen in humans.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
So the real
it's always a very I think it's fundamental to have this type of research in animal as a first starting point, an initial step for the discovery.
Yes.
But then it really needs to be tested in the model you want it to be applied. In that case,
and that's going to be hard, because what I've learned about research in the past 10 years of doing the show is that if you rely on self-reporting by human subjects, you know, because you can't put them in cages. You know, you can't take their food away and then give them water and do all the things you can do to animals. So quite often you depend on self-reporting. And when you depend on self-reporting, you don't always get the truth from people. I think we talked about this recently, that people will over-report activity and under-report eating when self-reporting on dietary restrictive studies are done. And so short of actually sequestering some humans in a dormitory type setting and laying out their meals for them and making them go to sleep at certain times, and that's another thing. You know, I don't even know if you looked at this, but so with humans, I have to believe that just staying up late has a metabolic deranging effect, and then eating into that period is even worse.
Yeah, I mean, if the study was to be translated in human, it would have for sure to be something very controlled. I don't know if you could, I don't think it would be possible to lock the population in some dorm, but definitely I think you would have, one would have to control the meals. It would have to be something where you give the meals to the people and by making sure that they have what they want to eat,
right,
but at least that you control the beginning and the end,
right, access,
and then you will depend on those people. But I'm hoping that if people really want to, you know, give it a go and see if it works, you could select some potential, you know, people will stick to the rule. I don't know.
I've never done myself.
So.
You know, anecdotal evidence is research, but in a broad scale. I mean, I know, I agree with you. If people said, "No, I'm just going to stop eating at 7 o'clock," which I eat my last meal at 7 p.m. I have to be done eating by 7 p.m. And that's a rule of mine, because I sleep better. I feel better the next day. And so, but then the other part of this that I'd love to see a study where people are restricted access to food for, let's say, where they can only eat for 12 hours a day. I'd love to see that study. But then I'd love to see the study where they are restricted from access and we look at what time they go to sleep. Those who stay up late and watch television to 1 o'clock or 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, and they're getting that artificial blue light, what effects that has to metabolic derangement and obesity? Because I predict it's a 1+1 scenario. Access to food while you're watching television and just staying up late into the evening watching television, I think each of those individually have a contribution to the obesogenic model.
I think you're perfectly right, and I think it would have to be completely controlled as independent parameters. Because yes, I think you can have a confounding factors if you just maybe stop eating, but then still stay in front of the screen,
right,
and have the blue light. I mean, it could be a confounding factor. So all of this would have to be very controlled, and that's why it is. I mean, I'm very glad that you're actually asking this question, because, you know, lots of people want us to comment on how is it going to work in human, and you know, shall I skip breakfast and blah blah. We don't know, because this is much more complicated. The human study is, I mean, you've raised all these good points, and I bet there are others, good stuff to take into consideration.
You know what I just thought of? I'm 56 years old, and I saw your picture. I know you're much younger than that, so I'm going to say something that you probably won't relate to. But I remember a time when television stations went off the air at midnight. The last television show played at midnight, and from midnight till about 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. in the morning, they just showed a test pattern with a tone, a 1,000 hertz tone. Boop. That's it. If you went to the channel, you heard that noise, you saw this picture of nothing, and that was it. But more importantly, I would love for someone to do the study of when we went from black and white televisions, because I have to believe that my father staying up late one night and watching a late show on a black and white television was less disruptive to the circadian clock than me staying up to that same time and watching this vibrant LED, 1,000 billion pixel, you know, blue, red, magenta, bang into my eye. I have to believe that just the transition from black and white televisions to color televisions was one of the clicks in the machine that started making us fatter.
That's excellent. We have a blue light specialist in my lab, and I will make sure that as soon as I hang up this phone, I will ask him his thoughts about this.
Yeah. I mean, I had a black and white television set in 1969. I watched, I got my first portable television set as a child the year that the Mets won the World Series. I remember coming home from school and sitting next to my bed, and it was a little 9-inch by 9-inch sharp. They were the first Chinese manufacturer to come into the United States, sharp television set. But that was still black and white in 69. And then I remember a couple years later, one kid on the block, his father was a builder. He was a contractor, and they bought a color television set. I remember going over there on a Saturday evening to watch a television show like I was going to the movies because it was color TV. So that was probably 69, 70. No, it was probably 69. It was around the same time that I got my black and white. That color started becoming very popular in the neighborhood. So I have to believe that there's a parallel if somebody looked at the line of obesity. Because I think that we've been staying up late for a long time, but I think that the televisions were less damaging, the brightness of them and the fact that they were just grayscale. That's all they were, that they had a role too. Listen, I want to thank you so much for making time to come on the show today.
Well, thank you very much for your time as well.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. And you take care, okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right, so stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I've got a couple things I want to announce. And then we'll kick off the new hour shortly with, we're going to be talking about microbes in your gut. They are not static. They change throughout the day. And understanding that may play a role in how we can manipulate the gut. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N Labs.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Ooh la la. He wants to see your peaches, baby. I don't know what that is. We have a couple minutes before the next interview. I wanted to take this time to let you guys in on something. I have kicked an addiction to Afrin this weekend. And I've also given up coffee this weekend. And it's like, if Elise is listening right now, she's going, he always goes to the extremes. And she's right. I look, she's right. She's very, very objective about the things I do. And I am an extremist. There's no doubt about it. Those of you who know me, you know I am. I'm passionate about things, and maybe that's what extremes are. But nonetheless, it was time for me to give up coffee and caffeine, for that matter. I've become way too dependent on caffeine, and coffee bloats me and makes my stomach feel like crap. I've got some gut issues going on, so I'm eliminating everything that I know can actually make my stomach feel bad. By the way, grains are out completely. But at the same time, I've decided that I started using Afrin right before the summer when my allergies started bothering me. Probably April or May. So let's see, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. I've been using Afrin for 9 months now. And that's way too long. I became addicted to it. And when I say addicted, it's not like I go, oh man, I want my Afrin. It makes me feel good. What happens when you start using Afrin is the first time you use it, it lasts 12 hours. And the second time you use it, it lasts 12 hours. But as you go on for a week or so, it lasts 10 hours. Then it lasts 8 hours. Then it lasts 5 hours. And worse than that, when it wears off, your nose becomes plugged with a vengeance. Your sinuses become engorged with inflammation, I guess, or swelling. You get pressure in your forehead. It feels terrible. And so you go, oh man, this sucks. I got to try Afrin. And so you end up in this vicious cycle where you cannot live without Afrin. So I've been telling Elisa, I've got to stop using this Afrin. I know it's no good for me. Don't forget, we know that the nose is the autobahn to the brain. Anything you put in your nose gets into your brain. I don't even know what the effects of oxymedicazone is on my brain. I've read some nasty things about what it can do to the circulatory system, to the pulse, to the heart rate, and even to the heart. My blood pressure is still normal, so I'm not worried about that. But I decided that some of the one study that I read shows that oxymedicazone can actually feed bad bacteria in your gut, and I've got gut problems. So I'm like, okay, you know, I could keep putting, you know, people always put things off. Like, there's people out there right now going, oh, I'm going to do something, but I'm going to wait till the new year. Why? Just make the decision and do it now. And so I thought, you know, I am not going to put this off another minute. So I stopped using Afrin, and as you can hear, I mean, I am still plugged up. I took my last dose of Afrin on Friday. I had to take one squirt in one nostril last night so that I could sleep, because it's difficult for me to sleep with a stuffed nose, breathing and snoring and drying out and so on. But I feel the right nostril, which hasn't had Afrin since Friday, is starting to open up on its own. So I'm hopeful that in the next day or so, my nose will bounce back to normal. In the meantime, I've stopped drinking coffee. And for those of you who paid attention, know that I drink at least one and sometimes two quad espressos in the morning, generally after I train, and then once again before I come into the studio. So pretty back to back. I'll have like a quad or eight espressos relatively shortly before I do the show. So as a result of stopping the Afrin, I'm all plugged up, and I'm sure that the Afrin withdrawal is going on as well. And on top of that, I've got caffeine withdrawal. So I may not be my sharpest today, and I can feel it. When I was asking questions to Dr. Schex, I was like, man, I feel like somebody injected my head with Play-Doh. And I know that this is what it's from, but I'm just letting you know, if you hear me sounding really stopped up, and you hear that I'm kind of distant for a second sometimes in some of my questions, I'm really working through these two addictions. It's a true addiction to caffeine. And caffeine withdrawal is a serious withdrawal. Brain fog. I'm suffering from it right now. Changes in energy levels. I'm suffering from those right now. It can even cause changes in heart rhythm, which I'm not suffering from. But the point is that cutting out caffeine is a serious, serious thing. It's not like, you know, oh, I'm going to go without yogurt for a couple weeks or something like that. I mean, your body does become come addicted to the caffeine. And cutting out Afrin and feeling like you're smothering every second of the day. So if I'm not myself this week, if you notice, gee, Carl is really not as sharp as he usually is, or didn't he just ask her that question a second ago? Just be patient with me until I come back to normal, which I have to do. I have to get back to normal. I've been living taking Afrin way too long, and it's really terrible. I mean, we would go out to dinner, and if I didn't have a bottle of Afrin with me, I'd panic, because I know what happens. If your nose plugs up while you're eating, you risk aspirating your food. Because remember, if my nose is plugged up while I'm eating, I have to breathe through my mouth. Which means that at some point in time in the meal, I will be chewing and breathing at the same time, which means that a small fleck of food could get whisked up in that incoming breath and go right down into my lungs, or I could choke. And I've already experienced this phenomenon. And, you know, so anytime we used to go out to dinner, I'd be like, oh, where's my Afrin? Oh, I've got to go back and get my Afrin. I mean, it really, you become very dependent on Afrin. It's nasty. Anybody I know who would say to me, you know, I've got a cold, I think I'm going to use Afrin, I'd say, use anything else. Stick hot pokers up your nose. Because at least once the burn heals, you're done. Afrin, I don't even understand how they have Afrin on the market. I got to tell you the truth. And it says on there that you should not use it for longer than 5 days. But I'm telling you right now, if you use it just for 2 days, you will be hooked on it. Because after that second day, when you stop using it, your nose will become stuffed with a vengeance. You'll have pressure in your forehead. You'll feel like your eyes are going to pop out. And it's because of the rebound effect of Afrin. And again, it's one of those things that's on the market that, you know, the Food and Drug Administration says it's okay. And in fact, I'll tell you something else. So when I decided to kick the Afrin, I started digging around for, you know, withdrawal symptoms. And there are literally withdrawal symptoms from Afrin. Again, brain fog and so on and so forth. But there are people out there who used Afrin just once and lost their sense of smell. In fact, it's a well-known phenomenon that oxymedicazone, I think I'm pronouncing it right, the active ingredient in Afrin, can cause you to lose your sense of smell. I mean, I thought I lost my sense of smell about 3 weeks ago, and I became very depressed. It came back the next day. I used too much Afrin that day, and it kind of, I guess it burned the inside of my nostrils so bad that my sense of smell was interrupted, but it came back the next day. I could not smell coffee grinds, which is a very strong smell. I remember saying to Elisa, I lost my sense of smell. I texted Dr. Matt Andry, and he said, let me do some looking around. And he said, you know, if we can get you off the Afrin, it looks like it comes back in anywhere from 6 days to like 12 weeks. And I was like, oh, and that was when I started thinking, man, I got to get off this Afrin. This stuff is going to kill me. But how sad would it be not to be able to smell a rose or smell the food you're cooking or, you know, I mean, anything. I mean, it was really scary. So anybody out there who is confronted with the possibility of using Afrin or a product with that active ingredient in it, and again, I believe it's called oxymedicazone, please find a different alternative. Sniff ammonia and open your nostrils up. You know what else I found out? Interestingly, and I haven't been training because my neck, but my neck feels good. It's felt good for the past few days, and I am going to the gym tomorrow. Exercise made my nose clear up. Whenever I exercise, I didn't need Afrin. So maybe the goal should be for me to get up and run for a couple minutes or jump rope to clear my nose instead of using Afrin. But anyway, I am kicking Afrin, and I'm kicking caffeine at the same time. So if I don't sound like myself, all I ask is that you be patient with me. I promise on the other side of this, there will be a better, more alert Carl Lenore. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the microbiome, which you know is a favorite of mine. We're always learning more about it. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin. Human by Rev Genetics today.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. The microbiome is as vast as the cosmos, but it's inside each and every one of us. And we're learning more and more about its importance, its role in disease and even preventing disease. My guest this hour is Dr. Amir Zarimpur. How you doing, Dr. Zarimpur?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on, Carl.
And we're learning constantly. The knowledge about the microbiome is evolving daily. And I guess when we think of these microbes, we think of them kind of like, this static mass of various microbes stuck in our intestines and throughout, and they're just kind of like static. They're just there. And while some may flourish and some may die off, we don't think of them as having like a clock, a rhythm. But your research has shown that they do, right?
That's right. You know, what made us interested in this is that we'd been reading a lot of papers about how the gut microbiome when a baby's born or early in life can affect a person's metabolism in the future. And we realized that people were assuming that the gut microbiome was static. Then we saw some exciting work from Peter Turnbow's lab, who was at Harvard and who is now at UCSF, that showed that the gut microbiome can change within 24 hours of a change in a diet. So, for example, they fed people a vegetarian diet, then they gave them some meat, and then they showed that within 24 hours, their gut microbiome composition was completely different.
Now, I just got to interrupt you for just a second. This is very promising to me, just this aspect of it, because we think of ourselves as being hostages to this microbial environment that we've developed over time, and oh, too bad for you. But this is why some people who are intolerant to some foods and have bad bugs, so to speak, in their gut, when they change their diet, they come out of it completely.
There is a caveat to that, but you're right that we shouldn't think of our gut microbiome as being completely static.
Yeah.
And we're a circadian biology lab, and we know that the gut environment changes because animals eat, and then when they go to sleep, they're not eating anymore. And we know that the genes in the gut are circadian in itself. They're expressed at some points and not at others. So it made sense to us that the gut microbiome itself would be cycling or fluctuating cyclically as well within a 24-hour period. And that's what our paper showed.
Okay, so...
Do you want me to get into the caveat,
yes,
by the way?
Yes, please, of course.
Okay, so there is a little bit of caveat. Actually, there's some really interesting research from Martin Blaser's lab at NYU, which shows that the gut microbiome early in the life of a mouse affects its metabolism much later on. So they basically gave low-dose antibiotics early when the mouse was young, and they showed that the mice that got it in a certain window of time while they were growing up had were more susceptible to obesity later on in life. So there may be these critical periods where we do need the right microbiome. And as you know, whenever we take antibiotics, it takes a few days for us to feel normal again.
Right.
So there is probably there is a normal fluctuation, and it doesn't change as in some scenarios as quickly as possible. But there may be also these critical periods where it's important for the gut to experience certain things that antibiotics may affect.
So not to use the agricultural, you know, analogy. So there's a springtime. There's a time for planting and a time for harvesting. And if you miss those opportunities, you can't go, oh, well, the heck with it. It's the winter. I'm going to plant anyway.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay. So do we see this timing? I know that there has been lots of research done on the role of Bacteroidetes and why can't I think of the other name?
Firmicutes.
Firmicutes, thank you. And their role in predicting obesity because of epidemiological studies that have been done on populations and geographies and so on that see more of one than the other and its relationship to obesity. So do these wax and wane throughout the day?
They do. So in normal mice, when the mouse starts to eat, you know, mice are nocturnal, so they are very active during the dark period or nighttime. And when they eat during that time, we see the number of Firmicutes species go up. And during the daytime, when they're sleeping and hence not eating that much, we see these levels go down and the Bacteroidetes level go up. And that's just in a normal mouse that's not fat, that's eating regular food.
Okay, I have to ask you a question now, only because we had Dr. Schex on the show, who's in your lab also a little while ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you see an alteration in this rhythm when the rodents eat outside of the time frame that they're supposed to eat? So, in other words, are these microbiomes responding to the lack of food coming in, or do they stay that way and then you put food in there and the wrong things happen?
So when we put mice on a high-fat diet, what we knew before was that mice on a high-fat diet tend to eat a little bit all the time. So they eat during the dark time, they eat during the light time. So when they're supposed to be sleeping, they're actually still eating food. So mice that are on a high-fat diet, what this study shows is that they lose this cyclical change in the Firmicutes and Bacteroidetes, that it becomes all Firmicutes all the time.
That makes perfect sense. And once again, as you said, the diet is influencing the microbes. And of course, you know, when we first started talking about the microbiome a couple years ago, I started to get this image in my head that we are actually hosting the microbes. In other words, we developed arms and legs and an ability to get food to feed them, that they actually may even affect our desire for certain foods. You think that sounds crazy?
Well, there is some studies that suggest that. I don't think it's crazy. I think it's a possibility that we do know that the gut microbiome affects lots of different gene expressions in the gut. So whether specific bacteria can affect our satiety is not, I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility. And we're delving into areas where I don't have as much familiarity in research. But I think that there are some suggestive studies that are out there about this specific topic.
Okay, so we have to take a break. I've got lots more questions. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. I know I told you there would be music playing when we come to the break, but I'm taking it early because I want to come back and hit another angle on this. We're talking right now with Dr. Amir Zarimpa. We're talking about the microbes in your stomach have a rhythm that they play throughout the day. And understanding that rhythm may unlock a lot of opportunity to manipulate them. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
There are few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out getds.com.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, LivonLabs.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Amir Zarimpa. We're talking about, I guess what we could say, the diurnal nature of the microbiome. Would that be an accurate term to use, Dr. Zarimpa?
Or the cycling of the microbiome,
okay,
is what I like to call it.
Yeah, and because obviously it's not, while it's, I guess, it's not affected as much by time of day as it is by if what you're doing at that time of day, for instance, eating. So with that being said, when you disrupted the regular cycling of, these two, I guess they're considered, what's the word I'm looking for? Genus of microbes. Did they stay that way for a long time, even if you corrected the eating pattern?
So we did do a study where we had animals that were, or mice that were on high-fat diet, but who only ate during nighttime and fasted during the daytime, just like the normal mice.
They should, right.
So what we found was that the gut microbiome of these mice was very similar to the ones of the high-fat diet, but there were some key changes. And most of those key changes were in the type of bacteria that previous people had hypothesized to be involved in obesity and metabolism.
So to kind of tie this in with the first discussion with Dr. Shecks, it could be that the reason that eating outside of your normal activity period late in the evening for humans and during the day for little rodents, the way that causes a redistribution of body fat the genesis of body fat is because these microbes are fueling that body fat production. Is that right?
There are probably lots of different things going on, but this could definitely be a contributor.
Well, we know from recent shows that we've done that the microbes in your gut play a role. I don't say they play a role. The microbes in your gut have a symbiotic relationship with hormones. We know that some microbes can, the presence of these microbes can influence the presence of hormones and vice versa, that if you have a hormone, it can actually re-stimulate some microbes to appear in the gut. Well, one show we did was related to oxytocin and certain microbes a while ago. So could these microbes, because of them being out of time, be causing hormones that should not be seen at different times to appear?
You know, that's a really good question. Unfortunately, it's not one that we were able to answer in our study because it's always really hard to tell what is causing changes. So is the thing that's causing, for example, hormones to change, the change in bacteria or the fact that the animal is fasting or the fact that the animal is feeding at a certain period of time or because these animals have better circadian rhythms because they have a more regimented eating pattern. So it's very difficult to tweak out differences in that. What we did do is that we looked at things that only the bacteria can affect. So I think you would find this interesting in the sense that the diet that we feed the mice, just like our diet, has a certain amount of plant material that is made of hemicellulose, which, okay, you know, we call fiber.
Fiber, right.
And the animal can, you know, any animal, us or the mice, the only way that we can break down these complex sugars is through the help of the bacteria that live in our gut. We don't have any native enzymes that can break up these big, long, complex sugars and starches. So what we did find is that the hemicellulose in our what I'm going to call diet-induced obesity mice, the mice that eat the high-fat, have access to the high-fat diet all the time,
right,
and our time-restricted feeding mice, the ones that only have access to food at nighttime. What we found that was that the ones that had the time-restricted feeding mice had much more difficulty digesting the hemicellulose, that they basically pooped more of it out as opposed to absorbed it. So that was actually a surprising finding on our front as well. We also found other things, for example, changes in bile acids. As probably many of your listeners know, bile acids nowadays are targets for a lot of drug companies and being potentially a new wave of bringing in a new wave of drugs that can combat obesity or non-alcoholic fatty liver disease or other problems related to obesity. So what we also noticed was that even though it seemed like the differences between the diet-induced obesity mice and the time-restricted feeding mice seemed to be small, the bile acid profiles of these two animals was completely different.
Wow. What about, okay, so since we understand now there's timing involved in these little microbes' lives in our gut, I have always, from some research that I read over the years, I came upon this conclusion on my own, which now your paper has challenged it, and that's why I want to ask this question. So I take my probiotics at night before bed because I have this theory that is when the gut kind of prunes the flora, takes care of itself. It's not playing host to food, and it has time to do the things that it needs to do kind of to clean up the garden. So I take one or two sachets of something called VSL3, which is a total of 900 billion CFUs of lactic acid, 8 different lactic acid bacterias. But I could actually be doing myself an injustice by taking it then if I don't understand that the presence of that particular probiotic in the gut may be unwarranted at that time, and I could actually be disrupting the so-called clock of my gut, right?
Yeah, you know, that's the number one question that I get since this paper has been published, which is, when should I take my probiotics? And I wish I knew the answer to that. And I think that the best way to test this out is for people to experiment themselves. Because as you know, I mean, you're taking VSL3, which is a well-known probiotic agent, but a lot of people, for example, take Greek yogurt or other types of probiotics, which may have different kinds of probiotics in them. And it's unclear whether what we don't know is, for example, the bacteria that are on VSL3, whether they tend to thrive in a fed lumen when there's a lot of food around, and maybe they could be helpful in displacing some of the obesogenic bacteria or not. And I think that more we need, you know, in order to answer that question satisfactorily, we need to do more studies. But I think in you in particular, what you may want to try is try taking a different part of day and see if it makes a difference.
I don't know what difference to look for. I got to be honest with you. Okay, so here's a completely naive question. It shows that I have very little education in this area. But are lactic acid bacteria, do they fall into one of these genus, you know, Bacteroidetes or Firmicutes, or is that something totally different?
They do. So Lactobacillus species are Firmicute species. They're the genus of Lactobacillus comprises of lots of different bacteria and that are particularly good at living within us. There are lots of different kinds of lactobacilli that like to live in or on different parts of our bodies. And what's very interesting about the Lactobacillus species is that what our paper showed and what's been consistent in other papers is that when we decreased Lactobacillus or when we saw a decrease in the amount of Lactobacillus in our time-restricted feeding mice, it kind of corresponded with there being a better metabolic profile.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, the thing that I want to make sure that people understand is that what we're looking at is at the level of the genus, not at the level of species. We know that there are lots of beneficial lactobacilli. In fact, one of my colleagues here at UCSD has shown that there are specific species of lactobacilli that are very protective against, for example, alcoholic liver disease, that they prevent the damage in the liver in mice that are exposed to a lot of alcohol. So our study wasn't able to tease out which one of these lactobacilli are harmful and potentially adding to dysmetabolism with a high fat diet.
But the lactobacillus is the lactobacillus is a firmicute, you said, right?
It is a firmicute.
And firmicutes are, if we look at the cyclical nature of these two, they are more present in the daytime, right?
We don't know in humans. So in the mice, they're more present when the animal eats.
Yeah, in the waking hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to find out because that would be, I mean, this could really simplify probiotic regimens if we said, hey, this falls into this genus. And you have those, you know, cyclically, they're more active during the day. So take those during the day, not at night.
Well, the lactobacillus species in our mice tended to be more frequent during the daytime in mice.
When they were sleeping.
Which corresponds to our nighttime in humans, if you assume that humans are, since humans live during the day. So they tended, the lactobacillus species tended to be higher in the daytime for the mice.
Nighttime for people. Yeah, the sleeping time.
Every little species, every little genus has its own thing. The Firmicutes is just a big addition of all these little small genera that are in the gut. So
I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the pH of the gut. There's a lot of discussion about the pH of the gut. And its role in allowing the gut to host infections, H. pylori and things like that. I want to talk about what role that played, if any, in this whole scenario. We're talking with Dr. Amir Zarempa. We're talking about the living world inside your body that you don't even know is there. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935. Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more.
Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dyes. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin. Human by Rev Genetics today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Amir Zarempa. We're talking about how the gut microbes wax and wane throughout the day and what the implications of that may mean to humans. Of course, these are in little rodents, and studies need to be done on humans as well. But obviously, there is some important information here. What about pH of the gut? We know that as we age, the pH changes. Diet can influence pH. Does the pH of the gut play any role in this cyclical nature of the microbes?
If you allow me to step back a little bit, Carl, I was looking up BSL-3 and the composition of different bacteria.
Please.
And I noticed that it has bifidobacterium and lactobacillus species as well as some streptococcal species.
Okay.
The bifidobacterium and the streptococcal species both were more prevalent during the light time in the mice.
Okay.
So, which means that you're, again, this is all purely
this is speculative.
But I think that it suggests that you're probably taking your probiotic at the right time, which is right before you go to bed.
Excellent.
Going to pH, I think so you're asking an excellent question. When I think of pH and the bacteria in the gut, two things come to mind. One is that, first of all, one thing that we should keep in mind when we're taking probiotics is that our gut is a very inhospitable place for bacteria.
Right.
For certain kinds of bacteria. Its job is to still keep bacteria out. And although we talk about, as you mentioned at the beginning, that there's a whole cosmos in our gut, the first part of the gut is the stomach with a high pH. And the point of the stomach is to kill anything that comes in into our digestive tract. So a lot of the probiotics that we eat or a lot of the food that we eat, most of the bacteria, I would say more than 99%, probably die in the high pH environment of the stomach before they even make it to the gut.
And do you know what I do at night when I take my probiotics? I take just one Tums, just one.
Uh-huh.
which is has a small amount of calcium carbonate in it to lower the pH in my gut momentarily while I'm taking that. Isn't that funny? I mean, that, but you're right. And you know what? This, I want to belabor this for a second, because there's a lot of people who think that when we talk about microbes in the gut, they think that we're talking about the stomach. In fact, the stomach is designed not to allow any microbes to inhabit it, and that when pH levels drop in the gut as we age, we become more prone to these microbes getting into the gut and wreaking havoc.
Mm-hmm. That's so, right.
Yeah.
And actually, the stomach is pretty sterile. And in fact, what's interesting about the bile acids is, as well, is that normally we release bile acids to digest fat. But these bile acids are highly toxic to the bacteria as well, which is why the first part of our small intestine is also pretty sterile compared to our colon or the last part of our small intestine. And the way that the bacteria combat this is that they have these enzymes that they use to change the bile acids to make them less poisonous or less damaging to themselves. Mm. And that's how the whole bile acid pathway and the role of the gut bacteria in affecting metabolism through bile acids. That's how that theory came about. But the other interesting thing that pH brings up is that we're learning more and more about the gut bacteria. And some of the things that we are learning is that how there are these different environments within the gut. So, for example, when we step away from our gut cells, we enter this mucus layer that's there to protect these cells from all the toxins and things that are in the gut. And the pH of that environment is very different than when you step even a little bit further away into the lumen. And the bacteria that live very close and very intimately with our gut cells are vastly different from the ones that live within the lumen and are mixing around with the food. And they probably play different roles. So, for example, you can imagine, and there is some evidence for this as well, that the bacteria that live within the mucus and live so intimately with our cells are interacting more with our cells and doing different things, as opposed to the ones that are within the lumen, which are probably helping us break up food and helping us and just hanging out for the free food and the safety of the environment.
Like friends.
So there are all these little micro environments. So, for example, there are different parts of the gut. You know, there are these crypts, and the bacteria in the crypts are probably different from the ones that are at the very tip, like near the villi. And there have been so that's what makes this environment so dynamic and so rich and so difficult to study. that it's really so. For example, if we change the pH of the gut, it may affect one group of bacteria that maybe play a small role in terms of affecting host metabolism. Maybe they play a bigger role in breakup of food. But that's always very interesting. And then the other thing to think about is that when usually in humans, when we want to study the gut microbiome, we take people's stool. But when what is lacking in stool is a lot of the bacteria that are more intimately connected or more intimately interacting with the cells that are in this mucus layer that's on top of our gut. So that's why I think it's been so difficult to study the gut microbiome in humans, and why there's so much variability in the data, because people are collecting it differently, people are measuring it at different times of day. We can't control the gut the diet of the individuals like we can in mice.
Right.
And actually, you know, this whole Firmicutes and Bacteroidetes thing that we started talking about at the last break, that has been shown over and over again in mice, but in humans, it hasn't panned out. That basically we don't see this. Some studies show it, but a lot of studies don't. And does that mean that it doesn't matter in humans and it only matters in mice? No, it just means that we're not measuring the gut microbiome in humans with the same careful with the same ability and carefulness that we can in mice. So yeah.
You know, another area that the microbiome is showing up in discussions is amongst the pharmaceutical industry. The pharmaceutical industry is starting to realize that drug efficacy in some cases, in non-responders, for instance, may have to do with the diversity of the microbes in their gut. There's a good study that I read a while ago that showed that vitamin D in the gut, vitamin D3, cholecalciferol taken orally, may or may not raise blood levels of 25-hydroxy the way it's intended to, not because the liver, but instead because of what the gut is doing with the D3 when it gets there. So this starts to beg the question, if in fact we have this moving target in some people of the cyclical nature of their microbes in their gut, or if someone is on this high-fat, eating around-the-clock diet, the lack of cyclicity in their microbes, how they metabolize drugs and even supplements for that matter. Do you see where I'm going with this, and do you see where your research could actually start to play into best times to take certain things because of the presence of this over that?
Absolutely. I think that you're predicting what the next set of papers from a lot of, I mean, this is a hotly investigated area. There are a lot of people who are interested in drug metabolism and circadian genes and the cyclical fluctuation in bacteria. And I think that there's going to be some exciting stuff that's going to come out in the future that's going to help deepen our understanding of this.
Really exciting stuff that's going on right now with the microbes. I mean, it really is like astronomy. I mean, you look out there and you're discovering things that you didn't even know existed. You know, I just am amazed. Whenever I go to the seaside and I stand at the shoreline and I look out at the ocean and I think, my God, there's a whole world out there we don't really know much about. But what's more amazing is each of us carry a unique, and unique to us and our journey, a unique world inside of us that we don't even pay attention to.
And that's right.
So I want to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we will wrap up the interview. We're talking right now with Dr. Amir Zarimpa. We're talking about the cyclicity of your microbes in your stomach. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N Labs.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Amir Zarimpa. We're talking about the cycles. You know, I had to look up cyclicity. I kept using the word and I didn't want to be... And I thought, I wonder if that's even a word. And I did look it up and it is a word, but the cyclical nature of the microbes in your gut. You know, Dr. Zarimpa, I have a tendency to use words that don't exist in the dictionary. So my audience knows that. Anyway, what do you hope that clinicians and lay people take away from this most recent research?
Well, I think the scientific message is clear that the gut microbiome is very dynamic. That when you measure it at one time point, that you're basically getting a snapshot of a movie that is constantly changing. And since we already know that the gut itself, the genes that the gut expresses, our metabolic genes, everything is also in motion and changes with time, that there is probably a dance going on with the gut microbiome and the host, us. So I think that's the biggest scientific message. And I think that a lot of people who are researching the gut microbiome, I think the message that they'll take away from this is that not only does the type of food, we all know that the type of food that people eat or that we feed our mice, for our experiments affects the gut microbiome, but the way that they eat also changes the gut microbiome as well. And I think that those are interesting things to take away. Clinically, that's a much more difficult question to answer. I think that, you know, one of the things that is important about doing research in mice, because people sometimes wonder why is it important to do these things in mice, is because These experiments are much more expensive to do in humans.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This helps us understand what is important and why things are more confusing in humans. And I think that this suggests that the gut microbiome in humans is probably very dynamic and very complicated and very complex. And that when we study it in humans, we need to understand this complexity and understand how to measure what we want to know, and how we can come up with a better understanding of what's going on in humans so that we can come up with better therapies.
Do we actually know which are good microbes and which are bad microbes? Or do we have even a feel for, like, okay, these here we know are bad?
Yes and no. There are hypotheses. Like I mentioned, the Lactobacillus species was something that was found to be different between mice that had metabolic disorder and those that didn't. We know, for example, Lactococcus species are quite prevalent in animals and humans that eat a lot of high-fat diet and become obese, whereas they're not in animals that don't become obese. So a lot of this is kind of correlation, so trying to figure things out through correlation. But one of the things that we actually showed in our paper was that there were some studies that showed that Verrucomicrobia species, that the hypothesized that Verrucomicrobia species would be beneficial and protective against obesity. But what we found was that Verrucomicrobia species just really like empty lumen. They like it when the animal's fasting for a long period of time, and that's where they thrive.
Oh.
So it's more correlated with that than it is with metabolism. So again, this is our hypothesis. We haven't proven this yet, but it just shows that doing these experiments is just very hard, and I think that we're going to get there. That incrementally, we're going to understand which ones are involved in metabolism, and I think the holy grail for us is how they affect metabolism. Because once we figure that out, then it's just going to open a Pandora's box of understanding metabolism.
You know, we did a show earlier in the year about Lactobacillus reuteri or reuteri, however you want to pronounce it. And how it actually reversed the aging of little mice. But that doesn't mean it's going to reverse the aging of humans. A lot of this research, as you point out, done in mice and rodents, even pigs for that matter, doesn't always translate over to humans. But as you also point out, and we discussed this in the first hour, allowing humans to self-report. You know, it's hard to put humans in a building and say you're gonna stay here for 3 months or 6 months. Plus, the lifespan of a rodent is so much shorter that things happen faster in the context of a rodent than in a human. It could take a year, where in a rodent it could take a couple weeks. So it's just so difficult to ever since the research on rodent studies came forth that said, hey, you know, we put a lot of trust in rodent studies, but it doesn't mean a lot when we look at how these things happen in humans. You know, ever since that, I'm reluctant to go, yeah, this is great. We need to start doing this here because this is what happened in rodents, you know?
Absolutely right. I mean, we should take everything that's done in mice with a grain of salt. The way I see this panning out or playing out is that we identify a mechanism in a mouse where we see how the bacteria affects the mouse and the mouse's metabolism. And then we test that particular pathway in humans, whether it be through a particular drug or a particular probiotic or prebiotic. But I think that it's going to be much more focused like that. We're not going to be able to do the same type of comprehensive analysis in a human that we can in mice. As you mentioned, no human would want to sit in a box where we're measuring everything that they're eating. And, you know, we give them what they eat, they have no choice, and then we measure blood and take biopsies out of every organ and measure their poop and stuff like that, no one's going to be able to tolerate
right. That.
And I think that what's eventually going to happen is that we're going to identify a pathway and test a specific pathway and see if it works in humans.
I just had a terrible thought, and I know people are going to shake their head, but I was just going to say, well, there's a lot of people out of work nowadays who, you know, maybe we can convince them that, hey, you're going to live in this house and we're going to feed you and let you watch television. Some of you are going to be able to watch television into the late hours of night and eat all night long. Some of you have to go to sleep at 9 and stop eating at 7. But, you know, you don't have to worry. You know, I know it sounds facetious, but really that's what it would take, because, well, if we know anything about human studies and self-reporting is that humans over-report their activity and under-report their consumption of food all the time.
We're human beings,
yeah.
Right? We perceive things differently. We don't, you know, we may not count certain small things that we eat. We may overcount it or overestimate. And these are things that have, I'm not sure, that have been challenges in doing the time-restricted feeding study in humans as well. And we're trying to come up with ways around it. So we'll get there in terms of that as well. And, you know, I do want to mention that there have been some interesting studies where people have stayed in a lab for a week, and the experimenters have asked them to, for example, shift the time that they that they sleep,
huh.
And we've seen changes in their insulin sensitivity. So they essentially become pre-diabetic after doing this for an order of a week to 10 days. So I think that there's there's some interesting stuff going on there that is worth pursuing as well. Now, what causes that shift is still, you know, we can conjecture, but. But I think that it's an interesting studies nevertheless.
The irony of all this is that all of these types of discussions make perfect sense in an evolutionary context. If we look at things from an evolutionary perspective, it makes a lot of sense why the body does the things that it does.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that nobody wants to give up Jimmy Kimmel and Taco Bell, you know, in the middle of the night. They want to be able to do the things that they do. And, but also be healthy. And you can't. You gotta choose one or the other. And, you know, I've talked about this on my show for years. You know, living the superhuman lifestyle makes you a boring person. Because when your friends are going out and going to Cabo Wabo on a Saturday and getting hammered and, you know, you're showing up at the gym in the morning and, you know, you're curtailing your consumption of food by 7 p.m. at night. You're getting to bed around the time that, you know, it starts getting dark out. You're waking up early in the morning. You're training. These things are not, they don't make you a popular person within the context of what socialization is today. But they really are clearly, and the things we talked about on the show for a decade now are now starting to be proven in science. The acquisition of muscle and its importance. You know, I started saying muscle is metabolic currency almost 10 years ago. Get into the gym and make a deposit today. And now we see science that's saying, hey, men, women who maintain muscle mass at 55 and men at 65 live longer and seem to have a longer period of time before they develop diseases, including diabetes. Wow, all of a sudden, lean body mass is becoming important. But this discussion that we're having about these little mice and the fact that they're staying up late, in their case, late into the daytime, and eating when they should be sleeping, is contrary to what they were designed to do from an evolutionary perspective. And evolution is going to win. We're going to get it someday. Maybe it's going to be 100 years from now. People are going to go, well, I guess we were wrong. We weren't smarter than nature. And now we have to get back on track and embrace and create social structures and societies for what we are adapted for.
And I agree with you in a general sense. And I think that part of also being human is our desire to overcome evolution in nature.
I know, right.
And I think that it would be interesting to find that, you know, there are people who who go late night and have lots of unhealthy food, but don't become obese.
And they'll be selected for. But the problem is, the only problem with that is, and I had this same discussion with Dr. Daniel Lieberman when I interviewed him about his book, The Story of the Human Body. You know, there's a good chance that these people that we look at today and go, man, you know, they're living a crappy lifestyle, they'll be selected for. But the problem with that is, as he pointed out, is we're selected for only the things that could curtail our life before we have offspring. The things that shorten our lives after offspring are not inconsequential to evolution, but they're consequential to those of us who go, hey, I don't want to die yet. So, you know, it's really interesting. It's going to be, I wish I could be here 500 years from now and look back and see if I'm right about a lot of the things I think that are going on. I think that we are in a period of de-evolution right now. Lifespans are shortening. Children are developing diseases that were typically associated with aging at 12 and 13 years old. I think that we are giving the middle finger to evolution. Evolution's going, okay, we'll see how that goes.
Well, I tend to be of the camp. I tend to be a little bit more optimistic than you. And I think that we're going to figure all this stuff out. You know, if you look at the way the science is speeding, it continues to speed up. The things that we couldn't imagine doing 10, 15 years ago, or we couldn't afford to do because it was just so expensive, is becoming more and more commonplace now. And I think that we're going to get to a point where we're going to understand these processes more. I forget what comedian it was, but there was a comedian where they asked it wasn't a comedian. It was, I think, the mayor of London. They asked him if human beings, whether he thought that human beings were going to die out or something. And he said, we're going to die out just before we find out how to be immortal. And I think that, you know, there is this, we do a lot of things that are damaging to ourselves, but we also are, I mean, compared to our caveman days, we are immortal, right? And I think that they would never have imagined to living as long as we have. Yeah. And I think that, it's going to eventually get better.
I hope so. I really do. I'm optimistic too. I really am. I think we're learning a lot every day. Listen, Dr. Zaripa, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's a great discussion.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Take care. All right, so there you have it. As the world turns, the world of the microbiome turns, we learn more and more every day. And also thank you to Dr. Ahmadine Shekhs for coming on and talking about how it's when you eat that matters, not what you eat. So stop eating late at night if you want to lose weight. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Hopefully I'll be a little bit more alert as I come off of my caffeine. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks. Bye.